Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, the Thursday moving quite along quickly. This game seems like a blowout game to me.
No doubt.
It reminds me of that Bears game last year because this is honestly the worst team the Chiefs are going to face so far this season. San Francisco, I think they're good. They're just really beat up.
If San Francisco's healthy, it's a much better ball
game. New Orleans, right? When they played them, were doing much better. They didn't lose Derek Carr. They hadn't lost Shaheed, who had a touchdown against the Chiefs as well in that game.
Right.
Chargers are a good team. Atlanta's a good team. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati is a good team. And Baltimore is the second or third best team in the NFL, depending on how you look at it.
Correct.
The Raiders are the worst team this team is going to play all year.
Right.
And
well, we play the Panthers.
So far, though, this year.
So far. Don't Greenberg yourself and say, you know.
And I know that, you know, people will roll their eyes like, Dusty, the Chiefs don't blow out anybody. You sure about that? You sure about that? And
this is the week they blow somebody out, I think.
Look, they did it to the Bears last year when Justin Fields was, you know, faltering at quarterback and the whole thing was like, oh, man, like DJ Moore's here. And, you know, we got Justin Fields and we don't know what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And then it was like all of a sudden after that game, they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to suck for Caleb Williams. And it's worked. And this game has too much to me on the line for the Chiefs to not want to finally be a little petty.
Mm-hmm.
Like every game so far this year kind of seems like, let's just do the bare minimum, get the W and get out. And hopefully we can stay healthy. The healthy part hadn't worked, but you remember Christmas Day last year. You remember the Raiders comments. You want revenge and they're either going to play Desmond Ridder or Gardner Minshew against that defensive front, against that defensive secondary, and Nick Bolton as well, anchoring that linebacking core. And then you give Patrick Mahomes a little more fuel to play with, not only with DeAndre Hopkins, but to mimic him earlier in the season and the whole, it'll get handled when it gets handled.
Yeah. Like, no, I think like when the schedule came out, I told everybody 10/27, circle your calendar. They'll get the popcorn ready. It's going to be the Raiders and it's going to be a lot of fun. Then the injuries happen and you start to think, okay, can they go out there and annihilate the Raiders? And I think they can do that because their defense can go out there and stop this team. And this offense, you know, I think is going to have a new life in it on Sunday because you've got DeAndre Hopkins. And whether or not you use DeAndre Hopkins in a realm where he has 10 catches or something like that, it doesn't matter. DeAndre Hopkins is bringing new life to this offense just by being now part of this organization. You saw so many tweets and reaction from the Chiefs yesterday about acquiring DeAndre Hopkins and what that is going to do for this organization. It gives them juice. It gives them a bounce in their step. It gives them a bigger smile today than they had 2 days ago before they had DeAndre Hopkins on this team. And everybody's feeling like, all right, they believe in us. Let's go out there and play. And I think they're going to play big this weekend. I think this is going to be a fun weekend to watch the offense. And when the Chiefs have revenge on their mind, they get revenge. You mentioned that Bears game. That was a Matt Nagy revenge game, 41-7 or whatever it was over the Chicago Bears. That was their revenge game. This is kind of a Patrick Mahomes revenge game because he stunk out loud on Christmas Day, right? He stunk on Christmas Day. Two interceptions, two touchdowns in 7 seconds for that defense. And it was over. The Chiefs haven't lost since then. There are people out there right now that are saying Patrick Mahomes is having the worst season of his career. Statistically speaking, he is. You'd mentioned Josh Allen, no interceptions, but still has two losses. Patrick Mahomes has, what, 8 interceptions and 6 touchdowns? Mm-hmm. No losses. This, I think, could be a get-well game for Patrick Mahomes to show everybody who's doubting him, because they are, because there's idiots in this world. That's what Iowa stands for, idiots out walking around. And so you've got a lot of idiots out there in this world that are trying to run down Patrick Mahomes, hoping Patrick Mahomes falls off. Patrick looks at that and goes, yeah, up yours, man. I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's see what happens this weekend out in Las Vegas. I'm going to put up 30-plus points against the Raiders. Going to be a breakout game for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's almost like a perfect storm, right? You have the national media saying, oh, the Chiefs are 6-0, but I don't respect it because Patrick Mahomes hasn't played well.
Right.
You have the Raiders disrespecting Patrick Mahomes with the puppet and, you know, the whatever, the smoking stogies in the locker room afterwards, getting loud, obnoxious over nothing. And then you add DeAndre Hopkins to the mix and you see the, you know, oh, here we go. And again, I don't know how much he plays. I don't know. I think, you know, a lot of times he'll play on first and third down. I think that's where I could see DeAndre Hopkins, even unless it's like third and long, but like third and, you know, mid or short every time. I think he'll be out there and I think he'll be out there almost every time on first down. That's just my opinion. but watch the first play of the game be a quick pass to DeAndre Hopkins.
No question it's going to be a pass to DeAndre Hopkins. That's the way the Chiefs do things. They get those guys involved early. Kareem Hunt gets involved. It happens all the time. We've seen this script before. And and I can tell you that like DeAndre Hopkins right now is going through, remember in college you had those cram sessions, you had a big test coming up, and all of a sudden you're going to cram and cram and cram. That's what's going on with DeAndre Hopkins right now over at the Chiefs facility. They are in cram sessions right now. They are in meetings with him. They are in one-on-one meetings with him, trying to get him as much up the speed as they possibly can to not only have an impact on this game, but have an impact for the rest of the season as well. So you cram for a couple of days, get him to where he's got a limited playbook of knowledge or whatever you want to call it. Go out there, do your thing, and continue to build as the weeks go forward. So look, this is a great addition for everybody. Everybody's excited, man. The genuine excitement that we saw out of Mac yesterday was the same genuine excitement that they had in that Chiefs facility yesterday. People are very excited inside that building, and the folks that I've spoken to about it are thrilled that this guy is here. And when you can ingest that kind of optimism and excitement into the guys in the middle of the season, man, you're taking it to a new level. We are at the midseason point. This is the midseason doldrums, you know, the dog days of summer, if you will. And you just added a great player into the mix for these guys. Everybody's feeling like they're on cloud nine. It's a great thing.
Speaking of nine, plus one is 10. That's the Chiefs line right now in DraftKings. Chiefs minus 10.
Love that.
You taking it?
You taking the Chiefs by 10?
Yeah, I'll take that.
I would.
You just said love it, and then you hesitated.
I love that they're favored by that much. I love that Vegas is seeing them as this is a blowout game. That's what I love.
Okay.
And that's where I base this whole entire subject off of, was because I was figuring out who I'm going to pick on the whiteboard this week. I ended up going with Green Bay minus 4.
Who do they have this
at
week?
Jacksonville.
Oh. They're only a 4-point favorite?
On the road. So technically you could say they're like a touchdown favorite.
Okay. Nah, but that's not the way it works anymore. But 5.5. That's really what they are.
But explain that to me now. Because why is Green Bay only a 4-point favorite against a dog in Jacksonville?
Because they're on the road.
It's Jacksonville. Do they really have a home?
No, it's London. But they're on the road, and I think that the home team always gets like a point and a half these days because the quarterback.
But this is Jacksonville.
Good. Right. So, I mean, realistically, like Max said, they're like a 5.5 to 6-point favorite.
Why?
Well, would you have a more like 6 at Jacksonville, 7.5, 8 at home? Is that where you have it?
Green Bay versus Jacksonville right now. Have it as a double digit favorite.
Well, then I love your confidence, and I'm glad that I put that on the board because I'm tied for the lead.
Just say it out loud. The say it out loud test. Jacksonville versus Green Bay. Green Bay on the road will have more fans there than Jacksonville because old people retire to Florida. They'll have more fans there. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville can't get out of its own way. They have a win over the New England Patriots.
Patriots still look decent against them.
Minnesota's minus 2.5 tonight against the Rams at L.A.
See, that's a team going out to L.A. Thursday night, that team that travels. Okay. That I think the Lions on the street is.
Lions are minus 11 at home against Tennessee. I love that.
See, there you go. That's a legit point spread right there.
Do you like this one? Minus 8.5 for the Ravens at Cleveland. Should it be more?
Well, at this point in time, unless you get a boost from Jameis Winston playing quarterback, which you may.
You probably do. You get a boost from me playing quarterback at this point.
At this point in time. I don't know. That just stunned me, that line. I don't know.
That's fair.
Like, it's Jacksonville.
Yeah, they're so bad.
Like, is Trevor Lawrence still trying to play quarterback?
Well, that's why I jumped all over it. Now, I'd have to wait. Now, the line goes official for us on Friday at 4 o'clock. But, yeah, Green Bay minus 4 at Jacksonville. I can't think of anything else. Now, what does Vegas know that we don't?
See, that's what scares you a little bit, right? Like, is it going to be like a late field goal game? Or, again, is this Greenberg recency bias where you saw Jacksonville on Sunday morning beat New England? And now all of a sudden, people are like, I'm not sleeping on Jackson. Trevor Lawrence.
They won last
stinks.
Week.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, so that's like, does recency bias factor in with that a little bit, maybe? But again, Vegas isn't doing any of that. They're smart. They're not on ESPN screaming.
Well, here we are this morning on a Thursday, which means coming up here in a little bit, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor in about 5 minutes here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Rolling right along here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco, Dusty, Mac with you until about 10 o'clock and then live in Vegas from the Circa. Cody in gold. They got picked up in a limousine last night. Must be nice.
I'm here. I'm here.
Stuff like that happens. It'll get handled when it gets handled.
Mahomes on that whole situation.
Yep.
Look, man, I don't really, you know, wish anything upon my enemies, but if the Raiders are that team for you still, they're going to have a rough Sunday. I really, truly feel that way. Vegas has them at minus 10. The Chiefs, that is favorites in this game. I think there's a lot that they put into that. Obviously, they have the Chiefs at minus 10, and they are factoring in injuries. Like,
right.
There's no Rashee Rice, no Hollywood Brown, no Isaiah Pacheco. Obviously, Kareem Hunt is there. Popped up on the injury report this week, yesterday. But I think that's just, like, rest. We'll have Nate Taylor on here in just a second to assure that. But I'm pretty sure that's just one of those, like, veteran days where it's like, hey, he's got a sore knee.
Right.
Well, who doesn't in week 7 or 8 of the NFL?
Everybody's banged up at this point in time. If you're not banged up, you're probably lying to yourself, right?
Yeah.
But the Mahomes, the Kermit the Frog thing, I was on with the station in Vegas yesterday. And they're like, well, you really know this true story behind that. I'm like, yeah, I know the true story behind it, but I'm telling you, I don't care about the true story behind it because I know how this team is going to use that as motivation, right? This is what the greats in sports do. Tom Brady used to do it all the time, that nobody believes in us. Mm-hmm. Kansas basketball, nobody believes in us. You're the number one overall seed. What do you mean nobody believes in you? Like, you have these organizations that are just so good and so much better than everybody else that they have to use these other ancillary things to kind of motivate them a little bit. It is what the greats do. Jordan used to create stuff all the time. Kobe used to create stuff all the time. So you've got to create ways to get motivated because you know you're better than the Raiders and you don't want to suffer that letdown. So even though that was a fan who handed that frog to some rookie, number 37 was his number in training camp, it's still going to be used by Patrick Mahomes in this organization as a sign of disrespect. And it's the old game of telephone. It starts with one thing, and by the time it gets to the end, it's snowballed out of control. Inside that locker room, and that's all that matters right now, is that the Raiders had a puppet of Kermit the Frog, and they were making fun of your voice. Let's go out there and kill him. It doesn't matter how it got there, who brought it, any of that nature. Mm. The narrative of that story now here in Kansas City and inside that locker room is the Raiders think you sound like Kermit the Frog and made fun of you.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing, too, is that the Raiders have two wins against Patrick Mahomes in his entire career, both of them in his own house. Raiders have yet to beat Patrick Mahomes in their house. Patrick Mahomes is still undefeated at Allegiant Stadium. Is that what it is?
Allegiant.
Yeah. Allegiant, Alliant.
Isn't there Allegiant Stadium? Or there's a Reliant Stadium. That was down in Houston, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that the dome down there? I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I just think that when you look at, you know, when you look at this game, There's more than just let's get in, let's get out, let's survive.
Yeah,
this is now right. Like the start of the easier part of the schedule. Obviously, Pittsburgh, Houston, and Buffalo still on the schedule, but not Baltimore, Cincinnati, Atlanta, New Orleans, the Chargers, and San Francisco 49ers.
Right,
like
right,
all
right.
Those teams are gone. You handle business. Now you can kind of, all right, it's the Raiders. They're not as good as us, even though we've had injuries. I think that we can do what we want to do and handle business. Plus, they've given us a little fire to stick up their ass because of what they've said, what they've done, and how they've gone about it. Like mm-hmm. Antonio Pierce being like, it's the Jordan rule. Now it's the Mahomes rule. I'm going to get into your head mentally, physically, spiritually, and, you know, effectively, and we're going to, you know, let them know that we're here. Please do.
Yeah, go ahead and try that, Antonio Pierce, because I was a big fan of the Antonio Pierce hire. Real fast.
He's like
real,
a banana.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad, man.
It's nice and yellow the first day you buy it, and then you turn your head 3 days later, like, damn, they're already, like, spotty and old.
Yeah.
That's Antonio Pierce,
it
man.
Really, it really, I mean, it wore out its welcome fast in L.A., and or in Vegas, or wherever the hell they call home these days.
Oakland.
But I don't know that he survives this season. And I was listening to something yesterday talking about Antonio Pierce. It's like their general manager has no allegiance to Antonio Pierce right now. Like, he's a new general manager. But also, if you're the Raiders, how many times can you continually change head coaches and general managers? I mean, I guess you have to keep trying till you get it right. The Giants have announced already they're keeping Daboll and Shane in place after this season. If you're the Raiders, do you keep Antonio Pierce and try to find a quarterback? I don't don't know if that quarterback exists. And so if you're one of these fan base, because Binkley texted me about it yesterday as he was watching Liberty Kennesaw State, that there's no good quarterbacks, legitimately no good quarterbacks coming out this year. So if you're one of these franchises like the Giants or the Raiders or the Jacksonville Jaguars or whoever needs a quarterback at this point in time, you're not getting that guy in the draft. And so do you fire your coach and bring in a new coach and give him Gardner Minshew and Daniel Jones? Or do you just kind of stay with the course right now until there are better quarterbacks coming out? Because Antonio Pierce's message, and it may seem like it's getting stale, guy doesn't have a chance with the quarterback situation out there in Las Vegas ever.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on there, coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
All right. You hear that Tony Hawk music, you know you want to do a 960 or 980 toe flip, kick flip. It is Nate Taylor presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. As we are now joined by my fellow alum at UCM. I don't know if you saw our shout out on Facebook, Nate, from one professor of Joe Moore, but glad to have you on the show today. And I'd like to know what your reaction was yesterday to the DeAndre Hopkins news.
Yeah. No, shout out to Professor Joe Moore. Love him to death. And yeah, you know, this is homecoming weekend for the UCM Mules. So, you know, please beat Washburn. That's all I ask.
Kings and eggs, baby. Would you rather see Joe Moore or Sky Moore running patterns for the Chiefs right now?
Oh, Joe could catch.
Honestly, it would be more intriguing to see Joe Moore run like a whip route.
Tennessee grad, baby.
Now, the funny thing is with the DeAndre Hopkins trade is, you know, you understand where the market is, right? And you understand what the team is trying to do. And they're essentially creating a more narrow window than maybe the average team was, because, you know, they were all of a sudden thinking, maybe we might use a third-round pick, to actually, no, we don't want to use a third-round pick. So that sort of eliminates some of the younger guys that we have been talking about, whether it's Darius Slayton, Deontay Johnson. You also have to realize, too, that, like, for some reason that I do not understand, based on what you guys just talked about with the fact that, you know, the quarterback position is not going to be as fruitful in this year's upcoming draft, why are the Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants not coming to reality, but all of a sudden the Tennessee Titans are? It's one of the more unique circumstances where you need a team that realizes their season's over, so you might as well get as many assets as you can. And depending on the contract situation, it is fascinating that the Titans, who have already done business with the Chiefs before, you know, of course, with the LeJarius Sneed trade, are willing to eat some money to get essentially a fifth-round pick that could turn into a fourth-round pick. I'm sure you guys have already gone through the details. But, again, it's fascinating that the Tennessee Titans are willing to do that, but a team like the Carolina Panthers in the New York Giants want to stand pat right now, even though we know both their seasons are not going anywhere.
And see, the interesting thing is Carolina has no fans. You can, you know, delve off players and not worry about selling tickets anymore. Like I know that's a common thought for a lot of these guys because they're businesses, you know.
Yeah.
And they wave the white flag where you're telling your fans don't show up anymore. You've got to milk that for as long as you possibly can until reality does set in. And then you have the Giants situation right now, too, because with the Yankees in the World Series, literally nobody's paying attention. Aaron Rodgers is eating boogers, and the Yankees are in the World Series, and the Mets went to the NLCS. The Giants could have closed up shop, and nobody would have noticed because they were focused on everything else. That's why, for me, like, the Giants coming to this to this realization with, what, 12 days to go before the trade deadline or whatever it is, how did they not come to this realization sooner and start? Because they've got a lot of season tickets built in. They've got a lot of already sold tickets. Start dealing your assets and getting picks back in return to try to rebuild your franchise.
Yeah, and again, the thing for both of these teams, and this is kind of where they get squeezed in this sort of trade market discussion, is Darius Slayton coming back next season? I don't think he is. He's a free agent. Is Deontay Johnson coming back next season? He'd be ludicrous to do that. So there's, again, what are you waiting on? Now, you know, if the Chiefs aren't willing to give up a third-round pick, okay, that's their prerogative. And so that's where the deal sort of falters. But – you know, the Chiefs have shown a propensity to have a desire to see what DeAndre Hopkins would look like. It's unfortunate that it's probably a year or two too late, just because, you know, the older you get, the more your skills start to deteriorate. But it is helpful that, you know, when it came to this sort of situation, and I wrote in The Athletic on Monday, fellas, that, like, they had to make a trade basically by the time we posted the article, which was Monday night, that at least DeAndre Hopkins had thought about this before, right? That he was one of their top targets in free agency in 2023, you know, again, for, you know, financial reasons. Hey, the Tennessee Titans did what they've done with Calvin Ridley. They gave him way too much money. So it's a credit to DeAndre Hopkins because he kind of wins on both sides. He gets the money he felt he was, you know, willing to earn at that point in time, and now he gets to compete for a championship, you know, with the best team in the AFC right now with a two-game lead on everybody in the standings. You need the player to obviously be, you know, open and available to this. You need the team to realize their own situation. And, you know, it helps that Will Levis will not be the Tennessee Titans quarterback very soon. And so they can start their rebuild the actual proper way instead of what they've been trying to do, which is hedge between, you know, competing to get to the playoffs or obviously going on a full rebuild. But yeah, the fact that DeAndre Hopkins has kind of wanted to be a Chief for over, I think, 18 months does help for this particular move, considering he's going to be doing the same things that Juju Smith-Schuster did and the same things that Rashee Rice did earlier this season.
Do you think this is a blowout game, Nate? Vegas has it at minus 10. There's obviously the puppet. There's obviously Antonio Pierce calling it the Mahomes rule, not the Jordan rule. There's Max Crosby doing whatever he does, even though I do love Max Crosby at times. I just, man, this game screams that Bears game last year where, like Bob mentioned it, Matt Nagy goes home. There's a little bit of revenge. Let's go put a 40-piece up and get out. This game kind of seems the same way. Like, hey, they fooled around, F around, and find out.
Yeah. No, this is, we've known this as training camp, gentlemen, and it's going to be quite compelling to see what the Raiders try to do to counteract it because, you know, Max Crosby is a great villain and, you know, his days might be numbered in Las Vegas if he wants to obviously compete at a higher level with a better team. But for right now, he's perfect. He's freaking perfect. He's a great pass rusher. I'm assuming the Chiefs will have a couple plays to embarrass him, whether that's misdirection, whether that's a trick play. You know, they're going to get in the red zone and do something wild flagrant against the Raiders just because of, you know, I think we also have to remember this, too. And I have to remind myself, and you know, when we see the game on Sunday, you know, the Raiders were the last team to beat them on Christmas Day. So all these factors work perfectly for the Chiefs and work terribly for the Raiders. And Mahomes has never lost on the road against the Raiders. So I just think it's a chance for him to play well. It's a chance for maybe Travis Kelce to have his first touchdown of the season, something to consider as well. But yeah, man, they're going to give DeAndre Hopkins a couple routes to run, get him into the mix. And then, yeah, see how quickly you can get to 40 points because the defense – the Chiefs defense will give you, I think, plenty of opportunities, whether that's turnovers or just, you know, the traditional three and outs. So the Chiefs should dominate time possession. They should, you know, do a trick play or two. They should score in the, you know, this would be the highest scoring game they have all season. And yeah, what is Patrick going to do to sort of reassert his dominance over the Chiefs, you know, arch rival based on the puppets and the voice and the stupidity of a rookie at training camp.
Right, exactly. And all those things add up to a blowout, to a revenge type of game, to a get well, make everybody in the national media remember that the Chiefs are here because man, there's a lot of idiots out there, bro. Like Mike Greenberg saying, you know, he doesn't see how the Ravens will ever lose a game with Derrick Henry running this way. Meanwhile, they started 0-2. You got Rob Parker talking about the Chiefs always shopping at the bargain bin and not getting Mahomes any help and not doing anything for their roster or their 6-0. You got somebody saying last year they'd rather have Deshaun Watson than Patrick Mahomes. Like, I feel like it, who was that person that said that? last year, Dusty, that they'd rather have Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, is your guy Darren Smith. Yeah. He said, I still think the Chiefs should have drafted Deshaun Watson over Patrick Mahomes.
In 2023, that statement came out.
June 27th.
So there's a lot of people out there, Nate, like with dumb takes about the Chiefs. And I feel like this is one of those weeks where they need to go out there just to make people remember that, hey, we're still the best team in the NFL with the best head coach, the best quarterback, the best GM, the best defensive coordinator, the best defensive lineman, maybe the best cornerback in the league, and the best tight end of all time, potentially. We're still here, and we need to go out and have one of those quote-unquote get-well games. Sorry, Raiders, you're the brunt of this week's game.
Yeah, and you also have to remember, too, the Chiefs are relatively healthy outside of the receiver position, right? I think, you know, Mike Dana's not going to play, and that'll be that. But for everything that this season has been so far, and I just want to remind people, they signed Kareem Hunt off the street.
That's right.
Okay. They traded for Juju Smith-Schuster when some people, I think fairly, were like, where is his career going to go next after he was released by the Patriots? Now they bring in DeAndre Hopkins, you know, and to your point, they're still 6-0. Like, Mahomes has not had a signature game by his standards, and they're 6-0. So the trend at some point is going to start to, you know, get back to the natural mean, the natural average. And I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to Antonio Pierce, who, you know, is pretty provocative on the podium. You know, he'll mm-hmm. give you a good quote, but I'm sorry, man. This is, ooh, buddy. There was a look from Andy and Patrick yesterday during their press availability that just lets you know that, like, oh yeah, we're focused, we're locked in, we feel good about the way we beat the 49ers, who, by the way, is a much better team than the Raiders. And yeah, they're gonna get so many formations, so many new looks, so many wrinkles, and it'll obviously benefit the Chiefs well too, because you will have the upcoming opponents like the Buccaneers be like, oh my Lord, now we got to study even more tape, even more film. So it's as about as fortunate of a 6-0 start as you could have, given the circumstances and all the things the Chiefs have had to do to get to this point. And now with some help on the way and DeAndre Hopkins, they have a chance to literally pull Antonio Pierce's down in front of the entire country, mm-hmm. and there's nothing for the Raiders to really do in response. It's crazy. But this might be the best game Mahomes has all season.
Good.
Because you because you irritated him and you brought this level of hatred out.
So let me ask you this before we wrap with you here, Nate Taylor of The Athletic. I get this question a million times already because, all right, we did something. Now what's next? Do you think there's another move in it for the Chiefs?
No, I don't think so. Now, again, if another team is willing to eat somebody's contract, then I guess there's always a chance. But I was looking at some of the salary cap projections, the idea that obviously they needed Tennessee to eat $2.5 million. Obviously, I've talked to my colleague, Dana Rossini. I don't think there's going to be a major move between now and the trade deadline, which is also Election Day on November 5th. Now, I do want to tell people that, you know, if you cannot come to a trade, sometimes a player just says, hey, man, just cut me loose. Just cut me loose. Give me a chance. And then maybe I'll sign with the contender on a veteran minimum contract that might be able to be squeezed into the Chiefs' salary cap sheet. You probably need that more than, hey, we're going to give up a six-round pick for, you know, DeMarcus Robinson. Like, I know that's sort of an idea, and it's interesting in principle, but you would still need help from the Rams based on my understanding of how the money and the math works. But also, you know, I think the Chiefs understand, too, that, man, it's one of the things that's nice about DeAndre Hopkins is he is 32 because he's seen every coverages. He knows how to work quickly with the quarterback and Patrick Mahomes. He made Will Levis, like, decent at times, which, again, is hard to do. And so it should be an easier transition for him than maybe a younger player who's never played with as many quarterbacks as DeAndre Hopkins. Adding another receiver to the mix will make that transition harder for that player and could hold the offense back between now and obviously the postseason as you're trying to, you know, get everything ramped up with Isaiah Pacheco coming back, with Hollywood available potentially coming back. So I don't think there's as desperate of a move that needs to be made, but who knows? Maybe there's a guy who should have been traded but ends up being released, and then you can kind of have a little free agent frenzy in the middle of the season.
Love that, Nate. Enjoy the game in Vegas, cool. That beautiful stadium with awful colors, but either way, it's still a great stadium. hey, man, snaps
out. It really
out.
Is.
No doubt.
Thank you.
Enjoy the bottle service in the end zone during the game, too.
Yeah. Take care, Nate. We appreciate the time.
No problem.
I love his laugh.
Nate Taylor, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. We'll get back on the other side, and we'll talk about some guy who said it's time to stop. His exact quote was, "It has to stop. No, it's not an athlete." Mac, Bob, Dusty, this is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Give you some damn culture there, boy. Blue Springs, baby. One of the greatest albums of all time, Get Rich or Die Trying. Nonetheless, one of the greatest action actors of all time is Liam Neeson. Fellas, Liam Neeson said, and I quote, "It has to stop." When being asked about being an action star, that young man is 72. I've got a certain set of skills.
He's 72.
That's right.
That's crazy, right?
Gosh, he's that nuts. Old, man.
He said it has to stop. He's been hilarious in Seth MacFarlane's movies. I think it's 5,000 Ways to Die in the West. Fantastic
yes.
movie. You smile in photos? No. God, no. Who does that? So, of course, my random-ass brain that was created from 6 to 9 on After Hours. You could have heard Mac and Drew last night. If you missed it, go check out the podcast. You can hear Mac Sunday at 9 o'clock. His fantasy show will be live. And then the Binkster comes on right after that. Which made me think, what are certain people or things that just need to stop? Like, when's we've had enough.
Aaron
right?
Rodgers.
I knew it was coming. I just knew it was
Couldn't hold it in.
Which, by the way, if he's looking for something to eat, there's a booger on top of the toilet in the men's room. He can come in here and eat that booger that's been sitting up there now.
We do have a new one. I knew Aaron
Another
Rodgers.
Another booger?
Yeah, brand new booger. It's on top of the urinal.
It's got to be started.
And so if Aaron's hungry, I'll fly him into Kansas City if he eats that booger off the toilet.
So this is the same guy. He's got like a booger.
We got a serial
area.
Booger effect.
Yeah.
I got a serial nose picker.
Jerry Jones is
a good
mine.
One. Yeah.
That just needs to stop. Like it just, dude, you're ruining your franchise little by little.
Have you ever seen an elderly man melt down like this guy is doing right now in front of our eyes?
In Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that's fair. But but this guy is like literally melting down. You saw the story that came out yesterday about the Dallas Cowboys practice facility. They sell tours of this thing during practice.
It is pretty big.
And the people are paying these tours and the players are walking around. They're like mingling with these people who are paying to go on a tour of the practice facility. And the players are like, "This sucks, man." Yeah. Like, and then they have three different levels of the tour and there's a $90 tour. And if you pay the $90, you get to have a conversation with AI Jerry.
That's weird. He already seems AI.
Right.
AI Jerry.
AI Jerry for $90. Like the tour's $45.
So is it programmed to answer certain things? Like you couldn't answer them off the wall. Like, "Hey, what makes me special? Because I'm like Deuce Vaughn from the waist down."
Yeah, I don't know.
Could it answer this?
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones?
Yes, it will. Yes. So there's three tours. It was like the cover story on ESPN yesterday. They have three different levels of tours. People are paying to go wander around the practice facility during practice. Mm. Like, you know how secretive NFL organizations mm-hmm. are, right? Like, Andy Reid wouldn't even admit that DeAndre Hopkins is part of the team yesterday.
They know nothing.
And so you see Jerry Jones selling these tours of the practice facility, and players are like, "Enough of this, man. This is ridiculous." And then for the $90 tour, you get AI Jerry to talk to you.
And he's got an 8-inch rod. Another one that just needs to stop is Harrison Ford. Like, if they make another Indiana Jones movie, I will decapitate myself. 1 through 3, fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah.
4 and 5, what in the hell?
Haven't seen him.
Don't.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Yeah, don't.
I'm done.
Save yourself.
No, I'm done supporting these franchises that do this to us.
It's absolute. He meets Socrates in the newest one. and a time warp.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, dude,
what
on the
doing,
beach.
Man?
Yeah.
What are we doing, dude?
And the one before that, there's aliens and like red ants that kill a soldier.
No one in the writing room's like, can we be done?
Ugh,
I think this is done.
And like Harrison Ford's like 78. Like, what are we doing here? Should have had Shia LaBeouf continue to do it, but of course he couldn't.
He's that young, Harrison Ford?
I think he's like 78, 79.
I would have thought he was older. Here are the Dallas Cowboys prices, by the way. $40 gets you a day in the life of a Dallas Cowboys player. That's the tour. $70, you get the ultimate fan experience, which includes an authentic letter of fandom from Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, a souvenir tote, lapel pin, and a dining and shopping coupon to use at the Star.
A pen.
And then for another $20, for $90, you can add on the Q&A session with an AI Jerry hologram.
I'm good, man. Actually, Harrison Ford, 82.
Okay.
Jeez, that's...
Yeah.
So corporate.
Yeah. Jerry Jones cares more about his brand than he does about making smart decisions to have a competitive football team, no doubt.
Because I hate to break the news to fans. Most of these owners don't care about winning. It's all about making money, as Jerry Jones is showing you right there.
We talked about hot takes earlier. This one right here from the 816. You got to own this, buddy. Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls wasn't that bad, Dusty. LOL. No, it was terrible. Put that on your Twitter or Facebook status and say that same thing and see how many people go, dude, like, it was bad. Ants killed a soldier.
Why did you put LOL after that text?
Because I think they're being facetious. I think they're just being sarcastic.
Because I read an article the other day, like, if you're using LOL, it shows you're old now. Like the kids today aren't using LOL anymore. Yeah.
LOL might need to stop. Maybe it's been enough.
Well, I think we're LOL'd out.
But I just don't people think we're really like LOLing.
That's the thing. My friend and I, Paul, used to talk about this all the time. What percentage of people are actually LOLing when they say LOL? It's like so overused.
No, I'll literally be like, I actually just LOL'd. I'll text that. Like, yeah. I actually just did LOL.
LOLs, LOLZ.
Like Lulz, people like, yeah. I like cheese dip, LOL.
Totes, same. Other things that have to stop. You said Denny's.
They're
closing 150 stores nationwide.
It sucks. Like, all the Grand these Slam? Restaurants that are going out of business nationally, they're all pretty pathetic.
Tiger Woods got laid in that place.
He did.
He got a Grand Slam and then had a Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sunny side up.
I don't think their food's very good. I'm not surprised. Red Lobster, the same thing. Like, all these places are closing. Oh, yeah. Like,
I'm team, like, Waffle House, but, like, obviously, I obviously talk about it all the time, at least Summit. I go to Neighborhood Cafe. Support local.
Great
breakfast. Free cinnamon roll every time you sit down.
Right. There's so many great breakfast places.
Oh, fantastic, dude.
There's so many great breakfast places in Kansas
places?
City. Yeah. Like, mom-and-pop places.
I know it's not mom-and-pop,
like,
but went
Denny's?
Went to Snooze the other day on Metcalf.
Fantastic
place.
Great,
dude.
Yeah.
Had a jalapeno and cream cheese omelet. I mean, dude.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Yeah, they got a good bar in there as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really good spot.
No, Snooze is great.
The Shack is really good. There's one at College and Metcalf and 135th and 69 Highway. Like, really good.
Yeah, it gives me anxiety because you can write on the wall.
Yeah.
Like, kids, like, write crown.
It's fantastic.
And it's all themed after, like, you can get like the Notorious B.I.G. and gravy or something like that. It's
those are Mac gets when he goes.
Yeah,
there.
I do love
sick
biscuits.
So
biscuits and
so
gravy
good,
get
man.
Me stiff.
Ugh, worst thing on earth.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's absolutely atrocious. Biscuits and gravy can kick rocks.
Oh, that's a terrible.
It's a bad take.
It's terrible.
We've heard a lot of bad takes on today's show. That's up there.
Enjoy not as bad as that Dante Smith who said the Chiefs should have drafted Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson over Patrick Mahomes.
This is another toughie here for me. You guys have Red Lobster needs to go. It has to stop.
The Cheddar Bay biscuits are good. What else are you getting there?
Shrimp scampi.
You can make that at home.
No, I can't. I don't have the hot Petri dish to put the butter and the garlic and the shrimp in. I'd rather
Amazon.com, go buy a hot Petri dish.
I don't want to make that at home. I can make fried shrimp at home. Costco Kirkland brand has a great panko fried shrimp that's fantastic, but I can't make shrimp scampi at home. I could.
We've got like all of these like national chain restaurants that are closing for a reason.
Biscuits and gravy is the goat. I agree.
Because they're not good.
They're fantastic.
That sucks, too. You can have your biscuits and gravy. I wouldn't wipe my ass with biscuits and gravy. But all these national chains that are closing is because they're not a good product anymore. And I think as we've gone through COVID now, 5 years almost, people like local. People like supporting the local guy and the local mom and pop place more so than ever before. And so Denny's, why bother?
Mm-hmm. Is that really a menu item? That can't, never mind. I'm not going to read that.
The moon's over my hammy?
No, the egg's over, never mind.
Easy?
Yeah. Bob needs to take a lap for a biscuits and gravy take.
I need to take a lap?
Yeah.
I will.
The thing that did ruin me, though, is that biscuits and gravy, they said, is flour on flour.
That's essentially what it is. Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's whipped flour.
But there's sausage and milk in it, dude, and it's so
good. There's cream, there's greasy sausage powder. Ugh. Give me biscuits. I like a good biscuit with some peanut butter maybe on top, but what? This gravy stuff.
How old are you?
What is going on?
Biscuit with peanut? Are you Sling Blade?
I love peanut butter.
Mm, I want some biscuits and mustard. Mm.
No, I don't do mustard.
But you keep that gravy to your side. I like the way you talk. I like the way I talk.
Yeah. Biscuits and gravy. I love when you don't like something and everybody's like, how could you not like that?
Because
I don't.
That's a very popular. That's like being like, I don't like pepperoni pizza. Pepperoni pizza can kick rocks. That'd be like the same thing as saying biscuits and gravy.
I think more people probably like pepperoni pizza than biscuits and gravy.
Fair. But I think that's the same sort of take.
I disagree. I think biscuits and gravy could go rotten hell. I mean, ranch like dressing can join them too.
Dude.
The only ranch dressing worth anything is the Smokehouse Ranch. Other than that, forget about it. Ranch dressing is the biggest waste of space next to the biscuits.
Poll question next week. Worst take. Bob's take on biscuits and gravy. Darren Smith's take on Patrick Mahomes should have been drafted instead to Deshaun Watson.
I mean, I think the Deshaun Watson getting drafted over Mahomes.
The text line would disagree.
Really?
Everybody's team biscuits and gravy, man. I promise.
So you're telling me there are people on the text line who believe that Deshaun Watson should have been the pick?
No,
over Patrick Mahomes.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying everybody in the text line, it's almost unanimous, wants biscuits and gravy as their menu item in breakfast. Keep your eggs Benedict.
I don't have eggs Benedict. Give me an egg white omelet with veggies.
Oh, God.
Perfect. Brussels and eggs white at the Shack. Great breakfast.
Yeah. Just going to yog after, won't
tell
you,
me,
Bob?
Tell me about your workout afterwards.
Hey, man, I got to watch what I eat. Otherwise, I'll be 300 pounds.
Tell me about your kale shake that you swallowed down after that, too.
Man, I'm not interested in that.
You know, actually, I like non-fat, oil-free peanut butter.
No,
I
disagree
with that.
I actually
put a towel in there.
I'm not damned. give me the Skippy. Give me the Jif. Give me all of that peanut butter.
Awesome. It's great. Hey, DeAndre Hopkins knew it last Sunday. We'll prove it here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, where we love biscuits and gravy.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.